Today I want to ask a question that I definitely believe needs to be asked and answered. And that is there a spiritual-energetic cause to illness and disease? Some people would say that physical things cause disease, and other of us would say, from all the evidence, that energetic causes are what we should be looking for. Now, we know energy flows. We know that energy sustains our bodies. We know that when we breathe, we're providing life to our cells. When we drink water, we're providing life to the cells of our bodies. And we know that that water makes the elimination of toxic substances and waste products easier to do. We know that when we eat food that is better for us, that is more closely connected to Mother Earth before the processing occurs, we're providing life to the cells of our body. But when you look at what's going on around us, are we breathing air that's filled with chemicals and smoke and water and beverages that are filled and loaded with chemicals? And are we eating foods that are loaded with chemicals such as pesticides, insecticides, fungicides, and all kinds of other sides? I think so. So let's back up and say, let's call the energy that sustains us life force. Life force. That life force is what keeps us alive. Now, we can call it spirit, and I believe that's accurate, with a capital S. We could call it God with a capital G. I think that's also accurate. We could call it divine consciousness. There are a lot of labels that we may be more comfortable with using other than life force. But let's just make another assumption, and that is that a healthy person has a sufficient flow of life force. And that's how we know they're healthy and they're alive and they're doing well. Here's one of the real factors in the flow of life force. This is the controlling factor, in my opinion. It's our thinking. Our thinking leads to our feeling, and these thinking-feeling combinations either open to us up to a greater life force flow, or they close us down. Now, it may be phrased differently. For instance, Bruce Lipton would say that we are either in the growth mode, I'll call that open to this flow of life force, or we would be in the self-protect mode, or I'll call that closed to this flow of life force. Over the last some hundreds of years, we have progressed as human beings in a lot of ways, particularly with technologies, which I'll talk more about in a moment or two. But certainly, over thousands of years, and I'll just use the Bible as the framework, that we've decided as mankind, men particularly, that having dominion over the various life forms, anything, not only other human beings, but plants and animals, anything that lives, having dominion over those forms really means domination. We've been trying to dominate various lives on the earth, and in fact, we try to harness and dominate Mother Nature. And you could look around and say, we're not doing too well at that job. And in fact, it never was our job, in my opinion. Being in balance with an energy flow is not the same thing as dominating that energy flow. Harmonizing with it is different than being in charge of it totally. If we look at the world today, you know, and I'm just talking, you can look at your business situation, you could look at the news, you could read a newspaper, you could watch people interact with one another, and you can see there's a tendency for groups, one group trying to dominate other groups, one nation trying to dominate other nations, corporations trying to dominate other corporations and the marketplace and their customers, lobbyists trying to dominate other lobbyists for their particular businesses or corporate or political points of view. Domination really represents imbalance. And I think balance and imbalance are so important to health in terms of causation of illness and disease that we need to pay a little more attention to it. Maybe a lot more attention to it. I would say this imbalance that I'm referring to related to domination has to do with it being a symptom of the belief that dominating other people is the highest value. And that idea of domination has carried over into traditional Western medicine. So let me just back up a little bit and talk about imbalance. If you and I met on the street and we knew one another, we would stop, perhaps shake hands, perhaps hug. We would think that this is a normal energy exchange experience. We might smile, we might talk for a few minutes. In this kind of a scene, neither of us would become imbalanced. In fact, after we started to walk away from one another, it is likely that we would be more energized. Not so much as receiving energy from one another, but we would be energized because we flowed high vibration to the other person. You would have flown high vibration energy to me, and I would have flown high vibration energy to you. And it was that flow of high vibration energy is what energized us. We didn't take the energy from the other person as much as we flowed it. If we were more primitive, though, and we encountered one another, we would have tried to take energy from one another. We would have, instead of talking and shaking hands, we would have believed, because of our consciousness, we would have believed that we needed to dominate the other person. We wouldn't understand anything about balance. We wouldn't understand anything about the value of balance. We would try to take what we wanted and not be concerned about the other person. Balance is important to a healthy, happy, successful life. And when it's out of balance, all bets are off. Science believes that the human body has about 10 trillion cells in the structure of the human body. That's a big number. Science also says that inside a healthy body, there are about 100 trillion microbes. You know, microbes. These are the same things that people believe that cause disease. We consist of 10 trillion, and the microbes within us consist of 100 trillion. That's pretty amazing, and for some people, probably pretty creepy. So, let's just look at it. In some of these bodies, and I'll say healthy bodies, these microbes work for the purpose of maintaining and improving the functioning of the systems of the body. You know, in our intestinal system, digestion of food, all kinds of processes require the cooperative, balanced function of these microbes. But in some bodies, these microbes are totally out of balance, and they don't have the checks and balances because of other microbes are not there in sufficient quantities. And that means that certain ones can dominate and harm the body. And anybody who's had a diagnosed infection or a fungus infection or a yeast infection certainly knows the scene that I'm describing. In our culture, our approach is we then try to kill the microbes that are out of balance. And we never ask, how did they get out of balance? Why are they out of balance? What caused that imbalance? We just go to war with the imbalance. Well, frankly, there's a lot of money to be made if the conversation about disease and illness can be limited to talking about the physical level of our bodies. And that is exactly what goes on. So any kind of conversation that tries to steer to the spiritual, the mental, the emotional component of disease is immediately poo-pooed and downgraded because there is a tremendous amount of money to those who patent and sell physical things, and they have total control over that aspect of the economy and our lives. Any kind of problem is seen as requiring a physical intervention using physical substances, chemicals, surgery, chemo, radiation, and so on. We're starting to recognize, for a lot of people, that is absolutely unworkable. First of all, to turn a body into a war zone is not necessarily the best approach to making that body a health zone. But what is happening is changing in the world, because it's becoming possible for you and me to know much more about what's really happening because of the information flow in the world is so much better today. In the old days, one person knew something. They were pretty much the only person who knew that. Or it was in a select group of people. They were able to control that information. Not anymore. Now, a whole bunch of stuff is really happening. because of the distribution of information around the world. And this appreciation of energy is a key element in commerce. It's a key element in relationships. It's a key element in finances. It's a key element in health. Here's a rule of thumb that I'd like to advance. If you sense an imbalance, start an energy flow. Give more information to yourself and to other people. And get more information to yourself, that is, acquire it, and get it for other people as well. This availability of information that can be translated by us into knowledge is what distinguishes us from a caveman or a cavewoman. We're not isolated like we would have been in the old days, or certainly we don't have to be. Some people are living with balance, and consider this, that being in balance with other people and other things in their environments with the earth is natural and is a high vibration goal. On the other hand, some people think that dominating everybody, grabbing everything they can for themselves for their own purposes, is the goal. Two extreme disparities right there. There's a huge difference. For thousands of years, mankind has known certain truths. One of them is, as a man thinketh, so he is. Let me just rephrase that, put it into maybe more current languaging. Our thinking will help us maintain balance, or our thinking will keep us out of balance. Now, the dominators have a problem with that idea. And here's the problem. Because thoughts are invisible, right? We can't see them. That means they can't be controlled by just a few people. They can't be patented. Ideas certainly can be manipulated, as you know, by watching TV or reading a newspaper. You see what news is all about. The media is manipulating that stuff for their sponsors, for their political points of view. They do have an agenda. But each of us, if we're willing to take responsibility for our own thinking, we can think, and we can think, and we can consider, we can ponder, we can meditate, until we get back into balance. Are we conscious? Yeah, we are, more or less. The other day, I fell asleep at the wheel when I was driving a car. I became less aware, almost like a person going under anesthesia before a surgery, you know, when they say, okay, count from 10 to 1, 10, 9, that's what happened to me. As I was driving, I fell asleep, and the right front tire of my car hit the curb, and it woke me up. That jolt, that impact of energy, that energy exchange between my right front tire and the curb is what jarred me awake, brought me back into consciousness. So I pulled over to see if the car and the tire were damaged. No damage was visible to my eye. My wife, Marianne, then took over driving. She drove the last 1 mile. We were 1 mile away from home in a trip that was 250 miles, 4.5 hours long. That 1 mile at the end is when I lost consciousness. Did I damage the alignment of the tires on my car? I don't know. I couldn't tell with my eye. Did I do any unseen damage? I don't know. Did I scare my wife? Yes, I did. I certainly did. You could say, and I could say this too, if I wanted to deal with it on a physical level, that this was a purely physical level experience. The tire hit the curb, period, end of story. I don't think so. I don't think that's accurate. This was a consciousness experience. I knew I was struggling to maintain my consciousness for the last 40 or 50 miles. I was conscious, and then in one long blink of my eyes, I was unconscious. I fell asleep by blinking, and I don't know how it happened. So, I think that's how we go through life pretty frequently, with varying levels of awareness, awakeness, of consciousness. I think those words are all the same. They mean the same thing. The good news is, I think that everything that I'm talking about from a negative standpoint can be healed. Everything. Without exception, everything can be healed that I'm going to be talking about now from this point on and anything that I mentioned so far. The bad news is you and I have experienced a tremendous number of energy collisions, much like my right front tire, much like anybody bumping into any single thing. Here's what I'd like you to do. Draw a horizontal line on your paper, 5 or 6 inches long. This represents a timeline of your life. Put a zero on the left edge, put 120 on the right edge, representing my point of view that we can live to be 120 and healthy if we choose to. We can stop anytime we want, but I believe that we do make that choice, not do we want to. We do make that choice. So if you find that line and put a dot in the middle, that represents 60. If you're older than 60 years old, put a little dot to the right of that where you think your age would appear. Just guess. And if you're younger than 60, put a dot wherever you think your age would appear. If you walked into a medical office tomorrow and said, gee, I have a problem, I'm not feeling well, I'm experiencing these symptoms, you would be viewed as a dot. They would look at you as one moment in time, like a snapshot, like a photograph, without considering that you're this immense timeline starting from conception right on up to that day. They would just see you as that dot. They would say, okay, well, what are your physical characteristics right now at this moment? How old are you? What is your height? What is your weight? What's your blood pressure? What's your pulse? Etc. They would look for all of these physical characteristics to identify you right now as a dot. And if there was a little bit of time, they might want to do some tests. They want to take a blood sample so they could have blood tested, or a urinalysis, or other kind of analyses would be done. They would be looking for more information about the dot. I've created a spiritual research program, and I'd like to give you the website of that, because I'm asking for people around the world to participate to see if there's more specific information that we can gain about the spiritual energetic cause to illness. And here's the website, thehealingcodes.com/spiritual research. Spiritual research is one word. I'll repeat that a couple more times. You and I have lived in 2 centuries. We lived last century, and we're continuing to live in this century. So we're living in 2 centuries, and that really, when you think of it, it's like, oh, that's never thought of that. That's kind of an amazing idea. But have you realized that about 6 centuries ago, people thought the world was flat, that if anybody got in a boat and sailed in one direction for too long, they would actually fall off the edge of that flat earth. And for centuries before, that prevented people from getting in boats and sailing in one direction because it kept them closer to land. 5 centuries ago, Galileo supported Copernicus. Copernicus had the idea that the earth moved around the sun instead of the sun moving around the earth. That was revolutionary. Not only revolutionary, it was very much when I believed in Santa Claus delivering Christmas presents, even though in my home, we didn't have a fireplace. How did he get down the chimney? We didn't have a fireplace. I didn't consider that. I believed in the Easter Bunny, even though I never could understand, what's an Easter Bunny doing delivering chicken eggs, colored? I don't know. And I believed in the Tooth Fairy. Just recently, my wife pointed out to me that there is no Santa Claus, Tooth Fairy, or Easter Bunny. I have now updated my beliefs. Navigators, 6 centuries ago, Galileo, 5 centuries ago, were able to update their beliefs. But religion and religious institutions either weren't able to or weren't willing to update its thinking. Over the years, over the centuries, mankind has developed a lot of amazing technologies. In some cases, our technologies are more advanced than our thinking, than our consciousness, than our humanity. And by that I mean, we've got weapons. We've got weapons that can kill a huge number of people from great distances. Isn't that amazing? And we can watch while we do it, too. But on a more positive and a more exciting note, information processing technologies help us. Right now, I'm talking on a phone line because of these information technologies make this possible. I'm recording this phone call in two different ways, on the conference call service and also on my computer as I speak into a professional quality microphone. That's kind of an amazing thing. Oh, you know what? In another room, working on three other computers of our network, is a technician from the Philippines cleaning up our computers as we have our systems checked and a new antivirus program installed. He's doing it from the Philippines, even as I'm talking right now. That's pretty amazing. But these technologies do other things as well. They give us the opportunity to see how invisible energies impact human beings. So, do invisible energies impact human beings? That's the question. And the answer is yes. And if you were in Chernobyl, you would say, radiation? Yes, they do. Marie Curie was the one who discovered radium, and she discovered it by working with it and dying from it, and radiation sickness. You'd go, all of those were invisible. Yes. Is this a new concept that invisible energies impact human beings? Not at all. Not at all. I was recently in a jewelry store in St. Thomas in the U.S. Virgin Islands, and the store had two doors for the front, one on the left, one on the right, and with like a wall in between. And the doors were kept open, so anybody walking past would feel very invited to step through the door, take a look at the jewelry cases, and obviously the ideal scene for the jewelry store would for them to become a customer. The store was owned by an Indian family, and I, standing around while my wife and friends were conducting business, I started to talk to the female head of the family because I wanted some information about two things I noticed on the walls right next to the front doors. About 6 foot high on the wall of one door were five peppers and one lime held in place by strings, and they looked like jalapeno peppers. And I asked her about them. She said, they're to ward off the evil eye. You know, negative energies from other people, people that are jealous of your success. That's what they're for. And I said, I noticed on your other door you have a Jewish mezuzah. Are you Jewish? She said, no, I'm Hindu, but I was educated in India in a strict Catholic school. The mezuzah was a gift from a Jewish friend, and it's for good luck and protection. This is not a new concept. If you were to Google on the concept of evil eye, you would discover that every culture believes in the power of energy being transmitted by and directed by other people to do good. We believe in prayer, right? And to do harm. That's the negative aspect of this. Energy is the main cause in illness and disease. In the 1990s, there was a doctor who was leading a weight loss program, and he stumbled across an idea when three of the people that were in his weight loss program who were most successful dropped out of the program. He interviewed them individually. One was a woman, two were men, and each of them told him during the interview that as they started to lose weight, they became more afraid. The woman became more afraid because now she was attracting male attention. And that was because she was more attractive, and that was scaring her. The men, because their physical size was decreasing as they lost weight, were physically smaller and less intimidating, and that made them more afraid. In the interview, it was revealed by these people that both the woman had sexual abuse or trauma when she was a girl, and both men had been sexually abused when they were boys. Because this doctor worked for a large HMO in California, Kaiser Permanente, he arranged to start studying Kaiser patients. He wanted to know if there was any connection to their childhood experiences and what they were walking through the door with currently as physical conditions or illnesses. Kaiser and this doctor had access to records that went back a long time for these patients. And so he started to study them. His average age of the person he was studying was 53 years old. And so Now, looking at their history, and he started to interview them, and they did a survey of about 10 questions, simple questions, asking them about their experiences as children. This study became known as the ACE study, A-C-E, with A-C-E standing for Adverse Childhood Experience Study. And so that study has been going on for over 10 years. It's been supported by the Centers for Disease Control in the United States, which is the organization in the U.S. government that is charged with protecting public health. And the connection between the ACEs, these adverse childhood experiences, and groups of diseases and behavioral problems started to be seen. The connection between an ACE, an adverse childhood experience, and illegal drug use, alcoholism, early unwanted pregnancy, multiple sclerosis, cancers, and on were detected. So I'm going to repeat the website you can go to for more information about the ACE study. The links are there. The questions they used and some of the background as well. This is the website, thehealingcodes.com/spiritual research. Spiritual research is one word. We have started our own research, and you could participate if you want to, and details are at that website location. There are other areas of technological advance, and these are related to brain science and to the pre-birth experiences of a developing fetus. Both of these areas are amazing. Researchers have been able to determine that information being processed early in life of the fetus. In fact, some of the things are just amazing. They have now determined that a baby's food preferences are determined by the time that baby is 2 months during the gestation process. 2 months after conception, that baby has started to develop food preferences. And then in the third trimester, the last third of its being in utero, tremendous neurological development is going on. Tremendous information processing is going on. Even more so, depending on your spiritual beliefs, it may be that the feelings of the man and the woman during the sex act that results in conception impacts the child. It makes a difference in the development of that child's consciousness. The good news is it can be healed no matter what state of consciousness that child was started with. Let's talk about automobiles for a second. If I told you, now go back to a car incident, that a car traveling at 40 miles an hour hit a tree and was dented, you wouldn't be surprised. If I told you that a person was hit by lightning on a golf course and was damaged, you wouldn't be surprised. If I told you someone was playing baseball and got hit by a baseball thrown really fast and was hurt, you wouldn't be surprised. The part of the car that was hit the tree would show the damage, just like the part of the body that was hit by the baseball would show the damage, and the point of impact for the lightning would show the damage. How about if I told you that when we got hit by humiliation, when we were humiliated, it was as if we were getting hit in the brain? If we can see humiliation could be like getting hit in a brain, how about the stress in our earliest days, conception, in utero for 9 months, at birth, and in our early years? And that interferes with our brain's development and our ability to think and feel and act effectively. You're like, whoops, I didn't know that. The good news, we can be healed. And that's the good news. There are ways to create or restore, if we've never really experienced balance before, to our brains, whether we're young or whether we're old. The brain scientists have proven that, neuroplasticity, that is, the brain's ability to grow, change, and heal, is amazing. This is new news. This is new knowledge. not many years ago, it was like, whatever you're born with, you're born with, end of story, brain-wise. Now they recognize, nope, that's not true. This is analogous to the idea that the world is flat. Oops, no, we've got new information. No, it's not flat. The brain is amazing. We have an amazing tool between our ears, and we have an amazing tool in our hands that can help restore balance to this brain. If you want to learn more and participate in this one question spiritual research project that I started, please go to this website, thehealingcodes.com/spiritual research. Spiritual research is one word. And you'll find the link to the ACE study there as well. As we add energy into our healing centers, as we reduce stress, as we connect to the source of all healing, all good things can become available to us. We can become aware. We can become conscious of. We can know these things to be true. We can correct the dents. We've got dents from those energy collisions, right? Somebody was unkind to us, or we got hurt in a sporting accident or a car accident or with humiliation or abuse or falling out of a tree or being embarrassed by stepping on our own toes or stumbling or being insulted, whatever. We can correct those dents of life. Those energy collisions are not necessarily permanent because they've occurred, perhaps from conception, a time before birth, at birth. That event is really a problematic, very denting kind of thing, the way we do it in Western culture. Our earliest years, right up to right now. Any dents that we've experienced, we can correct by inflating our energy field, if you will, with life force by directing it in with our attention and intention. Interference with our spirits and our energy could be the cause of illness and disease, and we can heal that. We can make a decision to connect to and add the highest vibration energy possible to our awareness. We can make that decision, we can make that choice, and add it. We can connect to the source of healing spirit and fill in our bodies, our minds, our emotions, our brains, our body by choosing to do that. That is good news indeed. I would like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer in letter 8 of Christ Returns, reveals startling truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know that it is your will that we should be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.